As mentioned earlier, we got Trunk or Treat just around the corner, and although it's creeping up there, don't get negligent, all right? Keep bringing the candy in. As Buddy mentioned earlier, it's not about the candy, it's about Christ. 2,000 people will be coming through our doors, and what an opportunity for us to, you know, people who don't come here regularly, they may have an idea that is mysterious about what goes on in here and what it's like in here, and we get to remove some of that mystery for about 2,000 people when they come through our doors, and what a great opportunity to extend a welcome to them and not just minister candy to them, but we do have a prayer booth, and that gets used throughout the night. People stop in, and we get to pray with them. We also have a grief booth, suicide, and things like that, things that are that people struggle with, that are real, and it's right at their level. And so we get an opportunity to minister in a number of different ways on that night. So again, that's coming up the end of the month, the 31st, Halloween night is Trunk or Treat. So keep bringing the candy in and be thinking about how you can be a part of it as well to make it a success, because I can't do it without you. Buddy can't do it without you, right? We need one another in order to minister in the world. And just to plant this seed also, 2 weeks from today, we'll be out at Traveler's Motel, where we have a regularly standing appointment on a Sunday afternoon to come out. We set up, we have service, we feed the residents there. Another great opportunity to engage in ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We continue in our series on the Holy Spirit. And again, it's part of the larger theme this year of seeing the unseen in 2018. We don't see Him. We don't see the Holy Spirit. But as Christians, by faith, we believe that He has taken up residence right within us. He lives in us and lives with us. And we talked last week about why God gives us the Holy Spirit. This week, I want to talk about why we need Him. Why you and I, we need the Holy Spirit in our life. Galatians 5. And I want us to read verses 16 through 24. Excuse me, 25. Verses 16 through 25. Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: fornication, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And so, Father, that is our desire, to put to death the flesh and to live in the Spirit. By your word, by your Spirit this morning, I pray that you would help us to see how we can do that and why we desperately need the Spirit's help to do that. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. A minister was looking for some notes that he desperately needed for a presentation. This is not based on a true life story, by the way. not my life, anyway. Somewhere this happened. I suppose. But a minister was looking for some notes. He needed them for this presentation. He looked everywhere, multiple times, in an effort to find the lost material. He asked around the office staff. He checked in his car. He retraced his steps. And he gradually progressed from a random search, looking any and everywhere, to a more systematic and organized search, going room by room, one at a time, area by area. Exhausted, he grabbed his keys, headed to his car. He made his way over to the speaking engagement at which he was expected. And when it was time to speak, he offered up a quick flare prayer and asked the Lord to give him something to say. He said amen. He opened his Bible to the passage he wanted to talk from, and there were his notes, right where he had put them so he wouldn't lose them. He knocked himself out trying to find something that he already had. One of the most frustrating things to do is to search for something you already have. As Christians, let me just say that the help we need, we already have. Because we already have the Helper, the Spirit, living within us as Christians. When we became a Christian, we talked about this, and we will continue to talk about it. When you became a Christian and you renounced the world, the flesh, and the devil, you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, and you were baptized, immersed in water to have all your sins washed away, that's when you also received the Holy Spirit of God. We don't need to go looking for Him. We've already got Him. Why do we need Him? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And it's the reason we need Him is because living the Christian life is not possible without the Holy Spirit's help. Let me state it positively. Living the Christian life is only possible with the Holy Spirit's help. You want to live the Christian life, you can't do it on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Now let me show this to you based on what Paul says in, keep your finger there in Galatians 5, that's going to be our text today, but I want you to see this from Romans 8. We camped in this text last week for a little bit. I want to back up to Romans 8 and verse 8. Romans 8 and verse 8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Say amen if that's what your Bible says. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And as you read Paul there and what he is saying, he's one of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit is because it's impossible to live a life that is pleasing to God without the Holy Spirit. He talks a lot in there about your mind and what is your mind set upon? Is your mind set upon the flesh? A mind that's set upon the flesh is only going to produce fleshly actions. Or is your mind set upon the Spirit? A mind set on the Spirit is going to produce spiritual actions. It's a battle for the mind. Out of our minds come our actions. And again, if our mind is set on the flesh, it's going to produce fleshly actions. But if our mind is set on the Spirit, it'll produce the spiritual actions which are pleasing to God. Those who are in the flesh, Paul says, cannot please God. Why is that? Well, again, as you examine the surrounding context, you find verse 5, he talks about how the mind that is flesh-focused, that's the mind is flesh-focused, and that means that it is a mind that is set on death, he says in verse 6. You end up with a mind that is hostile to God, he says in verse 7, and ultimately our minds refuse to submit to God. If we live according to the flesh, and the best I can explain that is it's more than just the flesh and blood that we have, that it's this act, it's this principle which is opposed to and it stands against God that wants to rule and reign in our life. If we live according to that anti-God principle, there is nothing in us which is pleasing to God. That's just what Paul says. What agreement is there between the flesh, as Paul is using it there, and the Spirit? The answer is there's none. There's no agreement between them. Well, if that's life in the flesh, what about life in the Spirit? If it's true that those who are in the flesh cannot please God, then it must be true that those who are in the Spirit can and do please God. That it is possible, that we are capable of it. We are capable of serving God. We are capable of loving God. We are capable of keeping His Word, capable of glorifying Him with our lives. We're able to, if, again, we're in the Spirit. And since we are capable of doing that, then we must be under the obligation to live a holy life, a God-pleasing life, before Him, before God. God, He gives us grace. He gives us a new heart, but He also gives us His Spirit. And so we are without excuse when it comes to living in a way which pleases God, which glorifies Him. We are capable, and He gives us the means by which we can do it. It's our responsibility. And this is why we need the Spirit. We need Him if we would live a life which is pleasing to God. Without Him, there's nothing. But if we are in Him, if we are in the Spirit, we can live this life which is pleasing to God. And this leads us to Galatians 5. And this is where I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning, is in Galatians chapter 5. We need that principle that if we live in the flesh, we can't please God. And so we need the Spirit if we would live a God-pleasing life, because it's by the Spirit that we overcome the flesh. And we need help conquering the flesh. This is what Paul is talking about in verses 16 and 24 in Galatians chapter 5. Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." He goes on, verse 18, he talks about being led by the Spirit. And in verse 24, he talks about living by the Spirit. Excuse me, verse 25, live by the Spirit. And then again, he talks about walking by the Spirit. Different word than he uses back here in verse 16. So walk, be led by, live by, and walk. He says it four different ways to talk about the same thing. We are to be led by the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to lead the Spirit? Have you ever tried to lead the Spirit? In other words, have you ever tried to tell the Spirit what to do, where to go, how to act in your life? Chances are, every last one of us has done that in some degree or another. We want things a certain way. We want certain things. And so we try to make demands upon the Spirit. But I want to remind us that the Holy Spirit is the sovereign third person of the Godhead. And that sometimes, perhaps a lot of the time, the will of the Spirit for our lives is not the same as our will for our lives. So are we willing to yield to the Spirit, or are we going to try and bend the Spirit to our will? The Spirit, as the third person, the sovereign third person of the Godhead, He does not take directions. He directs. He leads and we follow. When we fail to follow, that's actually rebellion. The Bible also calls it presumption. We become presumptuous in the things we are trying to do. That's, again, rebellion. But when we yield to the holy influences of the Spirit, well, in the first place, we walk. That's the word that he uses here in verse 16. And that word there for walk just has a general sense of meaning. It primarily has to do with just the way you live your life day in and day out. Walk, live. That's the idea. That's how you live, how you walk around in the world. To be led by the Spirit, it's actually the same word that's used for when Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew 4, Luke 4, okay? He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he is tempted by the devil. That's submission. Jesus himself even submitted to that. And it demands submission to the will of God for our lives as well. The Son willingly submitted to the will of the Father. That's why he was led by the Spirit. Got the whole Trinity involved in this. And in a similar way, we must submit to the Lord if we would be led by the Spirit. But we also live there in verse 25. Live by the Spirit. That's actually we talked about this a bit last week. That's the moment by moment, breath by breath aspect of our life. That every breath we desire to live by or live in the Spirit. And then the last one, fourth thing here, is to walk by the Spirit. It's actually a word that was used, it was an agrarian term. It was used in agriculture for a farmer who would plow the lines in his field so that he could plant the seed. And so it denotes kind of an idea of a standard. There's a row in which we are to walk. And the Spirit, we are to walk in that row that he has plowed before us, as it were. Our behavior is to be shaped and molded by the Spirit's standard of conduct for our life. And so we are to walk, be led by, live by, and walk by the Spirit. But then Paul goes even further as we back up into verse 24. And he talks about how we, those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we would overcome and conquer the flesh with the help of the Spirit, it's going to demand that we crucify the flesh. And this is the paradox here. You see the paradox, don't you? In order to walk, be led by, live, walk by the Spirit, it means death by crucifixion. We have to lay ourselves down on our cross and die if we would walk, be led by, live by, and walk by the Spirit. The flesh must die if we would live in the Spirit. The flesh and its desires, its passions and desires. It's interesting, the crucifixion that's being talked about here. On the one hand, I know we do need to die daily. Jesus even tells us that. Pick up your cross daily and follow Him. That's right. But the way Paul talks about it here in Galatians 5 and the crucifixion that the flesh undergoes, in the original language, it has to do with an all at once, in a moment where we have crucified the flesh. And I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that that's what we did at the baptistry, where we died that initial death to the flesh. The flesh underwent that initial death. Do you got to do it daily? Yes. But initial, Paul's talking about here, you belong to Christ, you crucified the flesh when you bowed the knee to King Jesus and you were baptized. The flesh, its passions, its desires died all at once. Do you die daily? Yes. But that's what he's talking about here, that initial death that we had. And so, through the Spirit then, we live the crucified life. This is what, again, we receive the Spirit at baptism. That's when the flesh was crucified and put to death. And now, by the Spirit and with His help, as we walk, we're led by, we live by, we walk, that's the crucified life. That's how we overcome the flesh. It's not on our own ability and our own skill. It's why we need the Spirit. We need Him if we would continue to overcome and live the victorious life. We also need the Spirit's help if we would identify and abstain from works of the flesh. This is verses 19 through 21 here. See, the Holy Spirit, He helps us to identify and abstain from these things. Paul gives us a laundry list here, 15 specific works that are produced by the flesh. And it's the big stuff and the little stuff, if you want to use that language. It's the big stuff like fornication, drunkenness. But it's also the little stuff, the little foxes that spoil the vines. This is how, so that's the language of Song of Solomon. But the little stuff like fits of anger. He's just a hothead. No, that's actually a work of the flesh. Envy, the stuff you don't talk about and show other people in your life, right? That gets right down to the heart. That's a work of the flesh as well. It's not an exhaustive list. It's not supposed to be. 15 things, 15 sins that are listed as works of the flesh. But then, did you catch it at the end of verse 21, the beginning of verse 21, as he finishes the list, he says, and things like these. Things, whoa, wait a second, Paul. You're saying there's more stuff than just this list? How in the world are we going to be able to identify things like these? Especially if you don't write them down, right? How are we going to be able to identify those things? And I believe that Paul, if we were to ask him that, he would respond with, aren't you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Don't you belong to Christ, and therefore you have the Spirit of God living within you? You see, while there are things that aren't mentioned specifically in this book that we believe and we know they are wrong. The Bible doesn't specifically address your behavior and the stuff you look at on the internet. They didn't have the internet back then. There's not a word about the internet in this book. So how do we know that we're supposed to stay away from certain websites and we're not supposed to look at certain things on the internet? How do we know that? It's because the Spirit, He's left the book, and there are principles that govern that. But we also, as Holy Spirit-inspired people, know we are to live a holy lifestyle, and there are things on the internet which are unholy. This is just one thing. You can go down a list of a number of different things that the Bible, it doesn't specific. Are we supposed to smoke crack cocaine? Does the Bible tell us don't smoke crack cocaine? Specifically tell us not to do that. You know it doesn't. But again, through this Spirit-inspired book and with the Holy Spirit living in us, we can know and identify things like these. There are things that are bad, that are unholy, that are wicked. And although they're not specifically mentioned in this book, we know them to be unholy and wicked and evil, and we abstain from those things. He's still the helper. He still helps us to identify things like these. And although the Scriptures may not specifically mention a certain specific practice, there are still Spirit-inspired principles, and we still have the Holy Spirit living within us that we can look at something, we can see something or hear about something, and we know that doesn't work in the economy of the kingdom. It's the smell test, right? Like when you get the milk out of the refrigerator, it's gone bad. Ooh, no. That's what it's like. Because we're living by the Spirit and we are being led by the Spirit. And perhaps that's how we keep in step with the Spirit. That's how He helps us to walk in the ways of Yahweh. It's because we keep in step. He enables us to identify those things and then helps us to stay away from them, abstain from those things. But He doesn't just help us with the bad stuff. The Holy Spirit helps us with the good stuff as well. We need the Holy Spirit to produce godly qualities and godly characteristics in our lives. This is what Paul's talking about here with the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I want to emphasize here that this is the Spirit's fruit. We don't get to take credit for this. We don't get to pound our chest, pop our collar, and say, look how good I am. Because this is the Spirit producing this within us. It's His fruit. The bad tree of the flesh is going to produce bad fruit. That's works of the flesh. But the good tree of the Spirit is going to produce other good and beautiful things. And he lists 9 different qualities here. Love, that's the agape, the self-sacrificial kind of love. Joy, not happiness, which is circumstance dependent. This is why Paul can have joy in a Roman prison. Peace that surpasses understanding. Patience. Our families, Buddy, the Grays and I, the Grays and Perez, we traveled back from Colorado Springs yesterday. We flew on an airplane. And you want to see the worst in people? Travel. That's, you know what I'm talking about. Our flight was actually delayed an hour yesterday, and you would have thought people's hair was lit on fire. In fact, they probably would have behaved better if their hair was on fire than the delay in a flight. But patience, you couple this with self-control, right? And the ability to control ourselves, and the Spirit, He helps us do that, and He produces that fruit in our life. It's, again, it's His fruit. And the list is there, and let me just say, we've covered this before in Wednesday night Bible class. I know some of you have small groups. That's great. And I want to encourage you, keep up the small groups. But I know not everyone is in a small group. And I know not everybody comes to Wednesday night. And may I just say, you need that structured time spent in the Word as well as time spent in a community of faith. Small groups do that. Wednesday night Bible class does that. And if you're not going to come to Wednesday night Bible class, and if you're not going to a small group, start your own small group. Talk with me, talk with Buddy. We'll help you get it off the ground, okay? I want you to use your spiritual giftedness. That's why God put me here, is to help equip the body for works of ministry, okay? That's a good thing if you desire that, and I just want to encourage you to do that, or plug the Wednesday night Bible class. Come and show up for that. And that's, we've talked about these things in depth in times like that. There's your plug for Wednesday night Bible study, but and small groups. But he does the same thing here. Did you notice this? Just like he did with the works of the flesh, he does it here with the fruit of the Spirit. He says, against such things. This list, like the works of the flesh, is not exhaustive. In other words, this isn't, there's not just 9 fruit of the Spirit. He produces a lot of fruit. Such things like this. You see, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And why we need the Holy Spirit is so that we can not only identify all the other bad stuff, but to help us identify all the other good stuff that's not mentioned here. And there's a lot of good, beautiful things that the Spirit, if we yield to Him, if we are willing to submit to Him, He will enlighten our minds and enable us to do such things as the fruit that are listed here. Things like this. I believe this fulfills a prophecy which is spoken of in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. It's talking about how God is going to bring life back to His people. He's in the resurrection business, and He's going to resurrect His people, but He's also going to put His Spirit within them. He says as much in verse 26, Ezekiel 36, 26 is where we'll start. He says, I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now listen to verse 27. You ready for this? I will put my Spirit within you. Okay, I got that. Yeah. And cause you to walk in my statutes. You see, this is something we don't talk about it a lot. We talk a lot about free will, and that's right. But this business of the Holy Spirit, Yahweh through the Spirit, causing us to walk in His statutes. That there's something about when you live life with the Spirit, and He causes you to live a certain way, all you're doing is cooperating in your own free will with what you want Him to do in your life. There's not, in other words, He's not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. But when you want what the Spirit wants in your life, it ain't nothing but a thing for Him to cause you to walk in the ways of Yahweh. To walk in His, He goes on here, and be careful to obey my rules, or your translation may say, regulations or judgments or something like that. That's part of it as well. That we'll be able to get right down to where the rubber meets the road. And day in and day out, the Spirit is going to help us to be careful to follow the things that God has revealed to us in His Word. He helps us to do that. He still does, brothers and sisters. And we need the Holy Spirit because we need Him to produce this fruit in us. Can't do it on our own. I think this helps us understand a bit of what Peter's talking about. He doesn't specifically mention the Spirit here in these verses, but I believe this is what he's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, where he talks about you need to keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. He goes on in verse 15, he says, for this is the will of God. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Peter's going to tell you that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. In other words, as you keep in step with the Spirit and He's producing His fruit within you and you are cooperating with Him, you're keeping your conduct honorable among non-Christians. That's what he's talking about here with the Gentiles. And you're doing so much good that even though they may speak evil against you and say all kinds of false things against you, emphasis on the word false, don't give them a reason to make it true, to say true stuff that's bad about you. You're doing so much good, you're actually putting them to silence. They're talking foolish ignorance is the way he calls it here, right? You begin to see how this bleeds over into everything we do, into our day-by-day life. Let me just say this. You know you don't need the Holy Spirit to live a semi-normal life and be somewhere on Sunday? You don't need the Holy Spirit to live a semi-normal life and just be somewhere on Sunday. Millions of people are doing that right now today during football season. They're living semi-normal lives, and they're somewhere on a Sunday, whether it's on the couch or at the stadium. You don't need the Holy Spirit to do that. Let me go a step further. You don't need the Holy Spirit to live a semi-normal life and show up here on Sunday. Anyone can do that. Anyone can lead a semi-normal life and show up to church on a Sunday. You know what you do need the Holy Spirit for, though? If you want to please God with your life, if you want to overcome the flesh, if you want to identify and stay away from the works of the flesh, if you want the Holy Spirit to produce fruit within your life, if you want to live in a godly way according to the Word and will of God, if you want to follow Jesus and obey everything that He has told you to do and teach others to do the same thing, you do need the Holy Spirit to live that kind of life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would recognize we already have what we need. that your Holy Spirit already lives within us. But we do beg and we do plead, give us the Spirit. Fill our lives, fill our hearts with your Spirit so that the only thing we want is what you want. And help us, Father, by your Spirit to live the Christian life. We can't do it without him. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The invitation then is to live the Christian life with the help of the Spirit. And so, my friend, you may be here this morning. We talked about what it means to submit our life to Christ, how it means repentance. That's turning away from the world of flesh and the devil, confessing Christ as Lord and being baptized to receive the Spirit. My friend, won't you receive the Spirit even today? We can help you with that. In a moment, when Gary leads us, that's your opportunity to come forward and share how you desire to become a Christian and you desire to receive the Spirit so that you can yield your life to Christ and to His Spirit, and He'll help you live life as God would have you to live. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we have done that. But maybe you're not entirely yielding your life the Spirit. But you're clinging desperately to some aspect of the flesh. You don't want to give it up. The invitation for you, brother, sister, yield to the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit by clinging to the flesh. Release that. And allow the Spirit to heal your heart, to heal your life. Again, in a moment, you know, that's your opportunity to come forward. Share what's on your heart. And we'll surround you with love and we'll lift you up in prayer. Perhaps some of the stuff, brothers and sisters, that we've been seeing, that you've been seeing in this book, maybe you've been reading it for a long time, but maybe there are some things that we have run across that you're like, wow, I didn't know that was there. And maybe for too long you've been denying certain aspects, certain works of the Spirit in your life. Maybe you need to repent of that. You've been quenching Him for too long. You desire to drink deeply from the living water. That's a good thing, my brother. That's an excellent thing, my sister. Maybe you want to make that public in a moment. Come do that. You can do it right where you are in your seat. And say, I don't want to miss out on what the Spirit can do in my life any longer. Maybe there's something that you're struggling with that's of a personal nature. In a moment, when we sing, just make your way over to the conference room. One of our shepherds will be in there, and they'll do what we'll do out here just in a private setting. Surround you with love and lift you up in prayer. But the lesson is yours, and the invitation is open. So won't you come while we stand and as we sing.